I'll always live in LA.
Always. Love you love it. You right always. Well, how do you feel?
I love LA too. I'm not going to lie.
But you can see yourself being there?
I was thinking about it.
Don't talk him out of it, Lyle.
I'm sorry.
I got him here.
LA also could get young, single guys in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The camera's on? Yeah. Oh, yeah. LA's already got me in a lot of trouble.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, my lady was on my ass.
We can talk about that.
Yeah.
Damn, I miss her. I ain't gonna lie.
We can talk about that.
Miss my biops.
Miss my wife.
Buying breakfast. Michael, I'm gonna need you to introduce the guest because that's your auntie, bro. This is you.
Listen, this is my auntie. She's been checking me since I was like 14.
Yes.
Making sure I'm staying on track, making sure I'm not messing with none of these hoes, making sure they're not
Lala, you didn't do a great job.
First of all, he has a girlfriend now.
Yes. Have a bad.
I see it all over Instagram.
That's going to get bleeped.
Y'all.
So all that research I did on her, because you know I put the feds on her to make sure everything was good.
That's why I did all that for nothing? Nah, you didn't do it for
okay,
nothing.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
But listen, everybody, this is like one of the most specialist. Is that even a word? One of those most special people in my life, my world, my auntie, La.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to have you here.
We got love. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for coming.
Of course, you know I've been like,
La, you coming?
I know, you're persistent.
We had to get her to G6. We had to get her to Jet to get here. You know, we had to get... It was a lot, y'all.
You're persistent. And I like that about you. You know why? I'm persistent, too. Right. Especially when I was first coming up, I was persistent. Right. I called 50 back to back. I didn't give up. So I like how persistent you are.
Thank you.
That's actually a great character trait for sure.
Yeah, you gotta be when you're booking, you know, you gotta be a little bit, but everyone has been asking for your episode.
Aww.
So that, it like, they literally everyone's like, when Lala coming?
That makes me so happy.
Yeah, I'm
proud of you guys.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. So, I mean, obviously, like, we've had conversations, we went to dinner, so I know a little bit of your story, but this is really why I wanted you on, because I want to know like the full Lala story, like before Power.
Okay.
So
from the beginning?
Right. Like what was like the first acting, entertainment, any type of thing that you did to here?
So when I was around 16 years old, I moved to Atlanta and I went to the opening of Wu-Tang at that time had a store, and I was in love with Method Man. So I was like, I gotta go see Method Man. A little bit on my groupie shit, but it paid off in the end. Because I went to go see Meth, which is crazy, because now he's on, the world
he
is small.
Right there in that seat.
Yes. Great guy. Love his wife. Nothing but love and respect. But back then, I was like, I gotta meet Method Man. So I went to the opening of the Wu-Tang store, and there were like these people hanging up posters and doing all this stuff, kind of like what you see on the wall here. And I was just like, what are y'all doing? And they were like, oh, we intern for this radio station. And I was like, oh, I want to do that because I could get into concerts. I could get into in-stores. Like, I love hip hop. That was always me. So I was like, this could be a dope job. So I was like, how do I apply? And they gave me some guy's number. I called him and he was like, well, for this internship, you got to be, I think it was like, 18 years old or something. I was like, cool, I'm 18. So I went and got a fake ID made. It worked to my benefit. Got the internship. And that's how I started at 16, working for the radio station. And then I met Ludacris during that time because he was working there. And then I got on the radio with him and a guy named Poon Daddy. So at like 17 years old, I was on the radio in Atlanta. And that's how it kind of started happening. And then from there, I got hired to work at a radio station in Los Angeles. So I moved to LA. This was around the time that Luda was kicking off his rap career. So he was like, I'm about to really pursue this rap shit. Like, either you guys could hit the road with me or y'all gonna have to find like another job.
Right.
It's kind of like this podcast. Like, it might not be the same if it was only one of you, not the two of you. So our show was dope. But with Luda leaving, it wouldn't have been the same. So I was like, I didn't mind going on the road with him, but I was like, I got to figure out what I'm going to do. Like, it's cool to follow him around, but what am I going to do? So I moved to L.A., got on the radio there. And then from there, at like 18, 19 years old, I booked the MTV job. So I started hosting Direct Effect with Clue, then TRL, and then it kind of just went from there.
So you just automatically, like, you were able to just host? Like, did you have any type of entertainment experience at all? Or you just were like, nah, I'm confident I can...
I'm confident. Yeah. Like, I'm confident. I know how to talk. The thing is, at that time, I was such a student of music. I love hip-hop even to this day. So if you wanted to talk albums, rappers, whatever, right. I could hold conversation with the best of them. So that's all you need to be right. on the radio. Right. You just got to know what you're talking about and know right. the music. And I knew all of that stuff. And I think I have, like, a good personality for right. that. So right. from being on the radio, then I just started learning more and more. And then that helped me learn how to be a host on television, yeah. which is the same. It's just like a camera there. Yeah. So it kind of worked out.
Yeah, that's kind of how we feel about this podcast. We love talking about acting and Power Universe. So right. it's like second nature.
It's like natural.
It's a conversation, right?
Yeah.
You're not like thinking of shit to say, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
Damn. Yeah, so then what was like your first like scripted thing after that or where you transitioned?
So even
acting?
During the hosting, I would do like little things in movies here and there, play like the DJ or stuff. Right. And I was like, this is cool, but I'm not sure. And then when, you know, I was on MTV and I kind of was like, okay, what's next for me? I'm not the type of person to ever get complacent or ever like get too settled. I'm always like, okay, what am I going to do next?
Stay moving.
And that's how you stay advancing in your career. You right. never want to get, you know, stuck at anything. Right. So I was like, okay, did radio, did hosting. What's kind of like the next thing? I'm like, oh, acting, producing. But I was like, with acting, you can't play around with it. Like, people will read through that shit. You can't just, oh, I want to act, and tomorrow you're an actor. It doesn't right. work like that. People think it works like that, mm-hmm. but it doesn't work like that. So I started taking acting classes and going to acting school. And I was like, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it right and really take it seriously. So I had little roles along the way, but I would say, like, my, I guess, breakout role would be Think Like a Man.
Right.
That's, like, was such a big movie for so many of us. Yeah. Kevin Hart, that was his vehicle. I mean, we knew who he was before that, but that was his vehicle that just right. took off. I mean, I was in a movie with Taraji, Megan Good, right. Regina, I mean, Gabrielle Union, like the best of the best. And I'm like,
that's a powerful.
Yeah, and I'm like,
Jerry was in that too, right?
Jerry, yeah, I love yeah, that's yeah, why yeah, Jerry and yeah. I are so close. But I was looking around like, am I supposed to, like, did they make a mistake? Like, am I even, yeah. I mean, my role wasn't crazy, but right. I was up there with some of the heavy hitters, and I was just being a student of the game, like, kind of like when Omari would be on set.
Right.
And I know Michael could attest to this. Like, I sometimes would find myself just in a daze watching mm-hmm. or just standing on the side watching because I'm like, how does he do this? Like, if I could just take a little piece of whatever's happening here.
Right.
So I was like that on Think Like a Man. I'm like that to this day. I just want to be a sponge and soak up, like, all the knowledge while still learning on my own. But a lot of learning you get from watching other people. And I remember during my Power years, like, I would be in awe of Omari and his work. Like, yo, did y'all just see that? Like, it would be crazy stuff.
Hey, Mike, you know what we don't have in the LA studio that we do have yeah. in the New York studio?
You know, I missed them a lot.
The money guns. We got the money guns are back, baby. And guess what?
And we giving y'all some money this week.
We giving y'all money even though it's not working. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Now, look, if you haven't watched the episode of The Coup Has It,
first off, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, well, where do you live? Where do you live? Under a rock? What are you doing? But listen, if you didn't watch us, you wouldn't know that Moneyline is helping the boys help y'all by giving away money every other week, baby.
We give away money. If this is your first episode, crazy to me.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know, but we give away money to our friends at Moneyline.
Listen, watch The Coup Has It podcast if you want us to be your sugar daddies.
You might ask, what is Moneyline? It's the go-to money app for anything.
Financial advice, you want to learn how to invest, you want to learn how to save, you want to learn how to even spend your money on the right thing. You know what's very important, bro? That a lot of people don't really, you know, pay attention, especially people like my age, like 21, 22. Credit, bro. Gotta build your credit. That shit is important, especially when you get older. You need good credit.
You're not going to be able to get a car. You're not going to be able to get a house, an apartment, nothing.
And then even if you are able to get a house or an apartment, your rates is going to be super high because your credit is low. You know what I'm saying? The higher your credit, the more trustworthy you are. And, you know, they could work out a nice, better, you know, payment plan for
Money Lion helps you with that. They got the tools to make sure your credit skyrockets.
Yeah, no, you gotta stay up to par with the credit. Don't play around with the credit. Bad credit, bad life. Come on. Now, since, you know, we're done being educational,
we got
stuff,
the housekeeping items out of the way. Now let's get to the fun part.
Yeah, let's give away some money, baby. Now, first winner with the Roar tag, DDR587, he won 175. A little 175
Damn,
piece for the first winner.
You know what that means?
Shout out to Didi, man.
Our second winner is Hung Lin, and they won 200 beans, kid.
Money gun,
they
money
still won $200 even though nothing came out.
Yeah, your money gun jam. It's all good, though. Okay. So, third winner, mm-hmm. Mr. Dark Knight. He won $230. I mean, they just get him more. They getting a bag over there.
Mr. Dark Knight.
$230.
Sound like a warm cup of tea, if you know what I'm talking about.
So, Bella CM, she got a little buck 85 or whatever.
You got a little, money coming out. You got a little pre-money coming out. $185, baby. Me too, a little bit.
All right, so our boy Proper Melvin 494, he got a little 210 on him. You know what I'm saying? He got a little, that's like 500.
210, baby. The boys are blessing everyone that. Week by week. Make sure you
just
download.
Giving away money, like.
Giving away money. Make sure you download the MoneyLion app. Use the Roar tag. The crew has it. MoneyLion got you, baby.
Yeah,
every
man.
Time you money,
make
be a,
sure you money lion.
Be a money lion.
Referral code. The crew has it. Make it Roar tag.
Crew has it, baby. Did you feel when you got into acting classes? Where did you study in LA?
So Leslie Kahn.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She's very good with like comedic timing.
Yes,
all that stuff.
She helped me a lot.
Did you feel self-conscious when you first started acting, or was it a hard transition?
One of the hardest, because at the end of the day, and still, I don't get it as much now, but still, it's like, oh, Lala from MTV. It was always that. Oh, so now you want to be an actor?
Right.
You a host? Like, people don't want to see you doing multiple things or expand. More now is. People are doing it more, but back then, you wasn't hosting and acting. It's like, if you was a host, that's all you were. So when I would go on auditions and stuff, be like, oh, this is Lala. Oh, from MTV. And it was always that. And it's like, why can't I just be seen as Lala Vasquez at that time, just acting and trying to do what I do? So I felt like I had to prove even 100 times more than if I was just an actor coming off the street that nobody knew.
Always,
because people knew who I was from MTV, it's like I had to prove that I could really do this. And I still feel to this day that I'm proving that I could really do it.
Right.
Doing so, a damn good job, eh?
Thank you.
Yes, you are.
So
Think Like a Man happens, and then what's after that? Is Power right after that?
So no, then it was Think Like a Man 2,
uh-huh.
And a couple movies like in between.
Just a franchise, no big deal.
And then a couple movies in between. And then 50 and I think last time we did the calculations, we've been friends for 17 years now. So when Get Rich or Die Trying, before it dropped, I was like one of 50's first interviews at MTV. And every time he came, I would be the one he would talk to. And I don't know, we just hit it off. And from that day till now, we've always stayed in touch. He's one of my closest friends.
Green Light Gang.
You're like, you're not the only one with the chain. So you know. I got the first one, just so you know.
I actually did see it, and I was like, damn, am I not going to get one? And then went to Easy Type
and you got one, right.
He showed up, he's like, I got you.
Yeah. But so my friendship with him has been forever. But he was always telling me, like, I'm going to do the show. It's going to be about this. And one thing about 50 that I love, and I say it all the time, is when he says he's going to do something, he really does it.
Yeah.
We live in a world where 100%. Everybody's bullshitting. Oh, I got this. I'm going to call you. This meeting. And you're just like, and nothing ever happens, or it's another meeting. It's like, one of these meetings going to turn into something. And 50 was like, I'm doing this show. And I was like, I want to be on it. Persistency. I kept calling like, Fifth, I'm not asking you to give it to me. Let me audition. Let me prove that I could do this. And he was like, well, you're going to have to prove it to Courtney.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who's the showrunner. You know, you have to prove it to Courtney. And at that time, I didn't know Courtney. And I'm so grateful that she gave me an opportunity to audition. I auditioned a few times. I got the role of Lakeisha.
Was it initially for Lakeisha, or
did you audition for anything else?
I think I auditioned for another role too. I don't remember. It was more than one, but mm-hmm. Lakeisha was in there. And at that time, I mean, in the beginning, Lakeisha was a small character.
Right.
It was just going to be a recurring here and there, but I'm like, I got to get my foot in the door somehow. And I remember people saying, like, you know, no role isn't important. Like, all roles are important.
Right.
Even one-liners are important. Don't take it lightly. But I used to, in my mind, I'm like, oh, this recurring, she pop up every, this is never going to be anything. And I'm glad that I still work so hard at it because Lakeisha became one of the main powers of power. Right. And billboards in Times Square, I mean, we were all like, it was life-changing, life-changing moments for us. Like, power changed my life on a role that was never supposed to turn into this. So it's just advice I have for people out there. Like, take every role seriously, no matter how big or small, because you just never know. Lakeisha was never supposed to be what it
was. That was the same thing with Brayden. I was a co-star. Yeah. I was one scene in one episode. So if you show up, you do the work, you put it in.
You never know what
Courtney's
going
to see it, and the writers will see it, and they'll take that into account.
And since then, Courtney's become, like, family to me.
The best.
A mentor, just a great individual for advice, inspiration, everything. And look at all she's doing and how she's killing it. Right. So you want to just start, you know, forming your tribe and your crew. So I'm just grateful that I have people like 50 and people like Courtney that even now that I'm not on power anymore still support me and are behind me. I mean, 50 then grabbed me up for BMF now. So it's like we always...
What show?
BM... Motherfucking F. Okay? So season two coming in January.
We're gonna cut that. No, I'm kidding.
And I miss power, but what the fuck? I got killed off. What do you want me to do? Come from the grave? Like Lakeisha is dead. Lakeisha is dead and gone.
Save her from these BMF streets.
And you wanna know something so crazy? Guess what my character's name is in BMF?
What?
Markeisha. I'm like, I went from Lakeisha to Markeisha. The Keishas, but it's been fun. But see, 50, once again, just a man of his word. Like, we gonna do this, La. You give your all to it. I don't play around. Like, I put my heart and soul and everything into it. And when it was time for another opportunity after Power, he called me. Same thing. Audition. It's not like you just getting this stuff. You got to work for this stuff. Audition. I auditioned for another role on BMF 2 from the first season, and it didn't work out.
That was Sharkeisha.
Sharkeisha. Because at that time, I was doing the Shy.
Right.
So I love the Shy. I couldn't do both. And then second season came, and there was opportunity for this new character that's incredible. And I auditioned again. And I got it. And so I've been in Atlanta for the last couple months. We just wrapped in July, but I was out there for like 5 months filming BMF.
Yeah, man, we be filming for a long time.
Yeah.
Y'all don't even know. Six months is a long time.
Our single camera, drama, it's a lot of, especially with a lot of action, guns, like it's a long schedule. Do you remember your audition scene for Power, which scene it was and who was in the room?
Yeah, I do remember. It's funny you said it because it was from season one, episode one, where I was in the closet with her.
I
kind of was like, you know, you living a dream life or whatever, because she had all the bags and purses from Ghost being a drug dealer and getting her all that stuff. And I was just in awe of it all. So I just tapped into what I know, like growing up and wishing you had more or looking at people that had more, like, why can't that be me? And also looking at girls dating a certain type of dude, like, oh, if you date that type of dude, you get that type of stuff. And like, damn, so maybe one day I'll date that kind of guy or whatever. So I tapped into all that. I think initially it was just casting director. And then afterwards, I believe either Courtney was there in the room. Mm-hmm. I feel like she was. And maybe one other person. And I was shook.
Yeah.
I was shaking. Mm-hmm. I was like, I felt like my knees were shaking. Because it's like when you want something so bad,
to the side.
But you got to just lock in.
Yeah.
And then
lock in before I tweak
out. When I got it, I was just amazing. Like, it really, for me, and I'm sure Michael, like, it changed our lives. Right. Like, it was a life-changing show. And I was there for 6 seasons from the original, you know, Power before it ended. It's like, when you spend 6 seasons with people, that's why we have the relationship that we do. I would be in his dressing room just talking to him about life and growing up and also growing up and now having all this fame and money and people after you. Like, I would talk to him about that all the time. So you form these relationships where it's like family forever, for life.
And that's why I always say, like, Power changed my life in so many different ways. Not even just because I could just buy all this shit and I got fame. It's like, I learned so much from just being on set with everyone. Like, it changed my life. Like, I literally learned so many life lessons just experiencing. Like, it's crazy.
And he's so talented. And he makes it look so effortless. I'm like,
thank you.
Did you study before you came?
I hate him.
I used to ask all the time, like, so last night, what were you doing? Because he just makes it seem so. I have to work at it. Some people have to work at it. I have to work at it. Like, I work on my scenes. I'm studying. And not saying that he doesn't, but I'm just saying some just come and it's so effortless.
He has been doing it since he was so young, but I hate him. He'll come to set and he'll have like this much. My line would be like, hey, Reek. And then he's got like, man, my mom hate, like going all
going,
this
whole going thing. Through.
And he'll just literally go like, yeah, no, I got it.
But wait, how do you do that?
This is my process. So like,
look. Tell us the secret. How do you do that?
It's so weird for me. All right, so look, I'll read it probably like 3 or 4 times. I'll read the scene like probably 3 or 4 times mm-hmm. the night before, you know, like before I go to bed. So it's like in my mind, like as I'm sleeping. And I wake up, I'll read it like twice, like in the car on the mm-hmm. way to set or whatever. Then I'll, you know, get to my dressing room, chill, whatever, for a little bit. Then we get to rehearsal. Then rehearsal, that's when I really get it like down pat, like when we start like reading it together.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear his lines or like someone else's lines, like I hear like my scene partner's lines, it's kind of like a cue for my line. So it's like,
right.
So they say this, so that means it's time for me to say this.
But what about like the emotion and stuff behind it? Because you're so great at that and you're great at showing emotion without words. Like I could look in your face in scenes if I never heard the words and I know exactly what's going on. Like, look, I'm like, tell me your ways, please. How do you do that?
I mean, obviously, like, a lot of it just comes from playing Tariq for a long time.
And
just knowing the character, knowing his backstory. But then again, like, just, like, the words on the paper, like, the way it's written and stuff, it's like, you could really feel that shit. Like, when you read it and you really, like, put your mind to it and you really understand what the characters, you could really feel that yourself. So it's
right.
Like, I just embody it and I just make it me, and I just
so good at it.
I think 90% of acting is just listening, and I think Michael's just a great listener, mm-hmm. so he just locks in, because if you're truly listening in the moment, it'll hit you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you do a couple takes where you're just like kind of in another world, it won't hit you because you're not listening. I think that's the most important thing about acting.
When you're in it, you're really present, you're really listening, mm-hmm. you're just like, it it just feels like you're going through the same stuff as the character.
Right.
Like, that's why.
And then it feels like you're just having a conversation. Right. Like,
do you have a specific process that you do, or like, what's kind of your thing when night before, day of?
Yeah, I mean, not night before. I need maybe a couple nights before, but I read it, I break it down, I try to understand, you know, what's happening in the scene. But like Michael said, you become so familiar with certain characters, especially in TV shows, because you play them for so long.
Right.
So I'm like, I know how Lakeisha thinks. Mm. I know how she would react to this. I know what she's feeling here. So you become so comfortable. It's like second nature, mm-hmm. like to just think like that person, move like that person, talk like that person, whatever it is. So that does make it easier as the time goes on. But in the beginning, you got to establish, who is this person?
Mm-hmm.
What's her background? Why does she feel like this about certain things? What happened in her life experiences that made her this way? You got to do all of that, like, back
research. Yeah, that's like the homework. Yeah,
that's the homework. But once you get that under your belt, then you just kind of flow from there.
Yeah,
I feel like if you do all that homework beforehand, because I feel like me personally, when I'm acting and I think of this character as Brayden as a separate entity, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not in there.
You're not connected.
So you do the homework for Brayden, and then, or for Tariq or for Lakeisha, mm-hmm. and then you come in and you're like, okay, I'm Brayden.
Yeah.
As opposed to it being something else.
Agreed.
So yeah, that's interesting to know, like, yeah, all that homework beforehand.
Right. And there's so many parts of all of these characters that are us.
Right.
Like, we can relate. There's nothing about these characters that we can't relate to, either in our own lives or someone we know. Like I used to say with Lakeisha, everyone knows a Lakeisha or has been a Lakeisha or is a Lakeisha. Right. Like, you mm-hmm. can be like, oh, that's my friend so-and-so. She act just like that. Like, everybody knows mm-hmm. somebody like that. So you just tap into all of that, and like you said, it becomes a part of you.
Right.
That's a fact.
So you do a couple seasons of Power before you become a regular, correct?
So I did, like, I became a regular on Power, like, around season 3 or 4.
Nice.
Yeah, around the same time became a regular.
Yeah.
Yeah, like season 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. And when the workload got more and more, were you like excited? You're like, yes, okay.
I was so happy because when you love a show and love your character, you want to do more.
Yeah.
Nobody want to be in New York getting called to work once every 3 weeks or something, and then you can't do anything else because you're under contract. So you're like, if I'm under contract, I want to work. I want to build this character. And that's also when the relationship was starting between Lakeisha and your favorite person, Tommy. So that's when that was going on. So it was like, I was excited to no. You like how I just threw that in. I was excited to just build that relationship right. because it was a very complex love story that people either they loved it
crazy.
Or they hated it, but it was a crazy ride with those two. So exploring that and being able to act with Joseph, who I think is such an incredible actor,
agreed.
Helped me grow as an actor and just helped me in so many ways. So I'm just forever grateful for that. But that was a love story that I think will be talked about, you know, for a very, very long time.
Agreed. What was your favorite scene when that's like those scenes started to happen? Mm-hmm. You got more workload. Like, what was a scene that you can't forget?
I'll never forget when he walked in and my character was dead on the floor. Like, his knees buckled and I was on the floor. So
right.
I'm hearing it behind me because I don't see, but I'm feeling the energy from it and like, I'm supposed to be dead, but I wanted to cry because I was like, this is crazy. Like, his knees really just buckled and he fell to the ground and he was just crying and like he had the engagement ring in his hand and that fell. And I still see people to this day who are like, I cried on that scene or that broke my heart, or they still, you know, talk about it. And it's so funny because when the decision was made to kill the character off. I mean, we've seen a lot of people get, and it is sad because it's literally like with Power, you'll get the episode, you know, you read through it quick because you want to make sure that you're
Gucci.
Still in the episode, you can die. Yeah. And that's what happens. That's the kind of show it is. So mm-hmm. a lot of times at the table read, and I'm sure you go through the same thing. I'm not on the new one, so I don't know if they do everything the same, but like at the table read, it'll be like, you know, guys, we just want to thank so-and-so. And you're just like, fuck.
Right.
And then they stand up and give a little speech and you clap and it's just like, but you're always wondering when is it going to be your time? And I lasted long. I was on the final season and the second to last episode, I think. But I remember going to 50 because I was like, that's it. Like, Lakeisha's out of here. It's over. Like, and I remember him telling me, he was like, wouldn't you rather leave on a memorable note that people will always talk about as opposed to Power just ends, it spins off with Tariq, and what happened to Lakeisha? She just, who knows? Like, I've read in so many articles, like, that's one of the most remembered TV moments in history. The death of Lakeisha, that scene and everything. So it's like,
best friend killed her.
Yeah, my best friend killed me. It's like something people will forever talk about. So it's like, I'll always have that as opposed to, well, I didn't die, but nobody knows what happened to Lakeisha. Right, exactly. She just went back in the hood somewhere.
Right.
So when he told me that, I got a better understanding and it helped me come to grasp with the fact that the character was being killed, because a lot of people didn't want that. I didn't want that. Hell, what people don't understand for us, when you get killed, not only is your character killed, you're out of a fucking job.
Back on the market.
Back on the unemployment block. Like, I gotta go back, try to find a job, get my money up, do whatever. Right. Like, it's bigger than just, oh, the character died.
Right. It's life.
Yeah, it's life.
What was your reaction when you saw it was Tasha?
I was just like, nah, this shit is crazy. I was like, oh, she's gonna kill me. And it's tough because, again, I was in Notori's wedding, like close friends. And still, yes, it's acting, but when you invest your life and so much into it, it's real life to you. So it's like, I love you, but you about to fucking kill me? And not only are you about to kill me, but you about to do this to me? And not only are you about to kill me, but you still got a job. Now I'm unemployed. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Denzel watching. You gonna do this to me?
Yeah, you gonna do this to me? I was just like, but it all played out the way it was supposed to.
Did she call you? Like, did you guys have a conversation before the table read?
We talked about it. I mean, it wasn't like Lakeisha's getting killed. People were hurt. Like, some people didn't want that. People were crying. People were like, "La, what now? Is there anybody we could talk to?" It wasn't one of those that's just like, oh, okay, cool.
Right.
Like, people wanted to fight back. Like, nah, you can't kill the kid. Like, Courtney, you sure this is what you want? Like, don't you need another couple days to think about this? Are you sure? And Courtney and I, you know, because of I consider our family and our friendship, that made it tough, too. But Courtney also taught me so much about show and producing, show running and story.
It's
like,
never personal.
It's not personal. Right. And as much as you want to be like, but you're my friend, why would you kill me? It's like, that's what was needed for the story at that time. That's what was needed for power at that time. And I had to learn how to separate the two.
Agreed.
And at first that was hard. And then once I talked to her, talked to 50 and got a better understanding, I came to peace with it. And it all works out. Like sometimes in the moment of things, you're like, why is this happening? And then afterwards you look back and go, okay, I understand exactly why it happened.
Right. Because you got right back to it.
I got right back to it. Then I went on The Shy.
Right.
Started bouncing around a little bit because after playing the same character for so long, I kind of wanted to just play around with a bunch of characters because you do get locked in. And then the funny thing is, after playing a bunch of characters, I wanted to lock back into one character again. Right. So I'm glad I had, like, I did The Shy, I did Wu-Tang, I did Grown-ish. Like, I started bouncing around just... I was like a fashion designer. I was a teacher. I was a record exec. I was a chef with Jacob's character in The Shy. Like, I just wanted to do a bunch of different things. But then when the BMF opportunity came up to now lock back in, I was ready for that.
And it's interesting because sometimes you get on a show for so long, you're like, am I going to get another fucking job again? So that's so reassuring. Obviously, you bounce around from like 5-6 shows. You're like, oh, no, I got this now.
Right.
Was that kind of where you were like, oh, I got this. I'm in with this. Like, I can work for the rest of my career. Because I feel like no matter what level, every actor at, you know, at some point is like, hey, when's the next one coming?
Yeah,
I've had conversations with Octavia Spencer, who's like, when's the next one coming?
I know, you're like, you can have any job you want in the world.
Right.
You always feel like that. I mean, it's uncertainty, just the world, the opportunities. Also, you know, younger crew coming through, like, oh, now they taking all the jobs. Like, now what's going to happen? Like, it's so many thoughts behind it.
I'm coming for you, Leo.
But talent continues to speak for itself, and hard work, and like, you got to really believe what's meant to you, for you, is for you, and not be worried about the next person or in competition with the next person. Like, what's for you is for you, and there's enough for everybody. Any role I didn't get ultimately worked in my favor. At that time, maybe I didn't think about it. I got a quick story. So there was that show, I've told this story before, but there was that show, Ballers, was it called?
Yeah, Ballers. Yeah.
Okay, so I was testing for that. I tested. The day I tested, I got a call from someone who was in the room when I tested, like, let me be the first to congratulate you. You got the role. You killed it. I was like, oh, this is crazy. And there was no power at that time, none of that. So Ballers was the show. Like, that was it. So I was like, oh, shit, like, I really got this. Like, I got the call. They told me, the guy who was in the room. So then a couple hours later, it's like about 10 o'clock at night. My cousin's like, yo, let's go get a drink, celebrate. I'm like, cool. I get a call from my agent. And I'm like, hey. And I'm playing it cool because no one's supposed to know that I know I already got the job.
Right.
So my agent's like, hey, Loss, so they decided to go in a different direction. The words all of us hate more than anything, different direction. I'm on the phone like, wait, are you sure, like, we're talking about the same thing? Like, they decided to go in a different direction. And I'm thinking, but they just called me and congratulated me and said I had it. She's like, no, somebody came in after, the last person of the day, whatever, and they just decided. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I got into bed, and I cried. Because some things you just really want. Like, some hit different. You can't be doing that with every audition. But when you test, when you sign the deal, when you know how much money you're going to be making, I was like, and you need the money because you're in a place in your life where you need the money. I was like, this can't be real. I cried and cried and cried. And I remember my cousin like, yo, you got to get up. Like, you got to get up. It was like a whole day of just crying. She's like, come on, man, shake that shit off. You got to get up. And I was like, never going to work again. Not good. No one's going to want me. You start doing all this stuff. I promise you, like 4, 5, maybe 6 days later, I get the call about Power. Now, if I would have booked Ballers, I could never be on Power. So it's like everything happens the way it's supposed to. And Ballers was a great show, but it ended before Power. So it's like, it's just imagine
that. And it didn't make nearly as much of an impact as Power did.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's
Power
like
monumental. Yeah.
Forever. So you have to just always think everything happens for a reason.
100%.
All those tears, I was in the bed. and I booked Power after that.
That's crazy.
All that crying.
Side note for everyone listening, when you test for a show, you literally look at the contract and it says how much you're going to make per episode. And me personally, when I'm broke, I'm like,
what the fuck?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Shit.
I'm about to be making this.
Right. So they're like, if you get it.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to think about it because you haven't got the job yet. But how are you looking at those numbers and you're not thinking about it?
In my face, like.
Right. And that's before you even read. Like, right. you read a couple times and then you come back in for the test. Right. And you sign the contract before you read.
Right. And the test is only going to be like 2 or 3 people. So you know you're close. You're close. Yeah. The odds are good. You're close enough. You're close to the finish line. And the person in the room said, "La, you killed it. They gonna offer you the job." So I'm like, I wasn't delusional. I didn't make this shit up in my head.
Right.
He fucking told me that. And then it was like nothing. Yeah. But again, it worked in my favor.
I said this a couple episodes ago. There were so many jobs that I also auditioned for that I thought it was the end of the world I didn't get. Mm-hmm. Like the teen, 13 Reasons Why, Riverdale, like those types of things. And now I'm doing something that I this is a dream show for me because I always say I look like I should be a vampire. You know what I mean? But I'm on fucking TV dealing drugs. So
right.
I'm like, it was meant for me. So everything is meant that comes your way is meant for you if you put in the work.
If the door closes, another one gonna open for you.
Open.
So. Lala will is the true testament to that.
I have a testament to that, for sure.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Literally 5 days after.
Yeah, it was like Power. Yeah. Like, they want you to come and audition for Power.
That's crazy.
I was like, cool.
Was there a scene in Power or BMF or anything that you're like, okay, I'm locked into this acting stuff? Like, was there ever like a click? Tell me about that.
So I've had a couple of those on BMF because that's more recent. Mm-hmm. There was a scene dealing with some type of, like, domestic violence, and the tears really were coming down, and I was like, have you ever had that moment, like, where you, like, it's like you're in the scene, but then you step out, like, yo, I'm really crying right now. Like,
you still crying,
yeah,
you're still going, like.
I'm like, oh, my God, like.
Yep. Bart cut my shit, but
this is real, like, this is a different feeling I'm having in my body right now, because for me, I was reflecting and speaking on so many women who have been in domestic violence situations and abuse, and I was like, felt like that scene was speaking for them and so many people who don't have a voice in those situations, and I didn't take that lightly, so I put that in my body so deep, and I just was feeling it in so many different ways that, like Michael said, they said cut, tears still coming down, and I was like, wow, and then so many people came up to me after, was like, yo, you had the whole control room crying. I was like, damn, like, they felt that, and it was just like, to be able to have that effect, I'm so excited for people to see that scene because it was so powerful. And on Power as well, a lot of people talk, they love my relationship with Cash, who was my son on Power. Poor Cayenne. They always be telling my real son. Right. They like, oh, Cash is Cayenne. Like, man, fuck y'all. My name ain't Cash. You know? By the way, he should not be cursing. But I'm just saying, he probably curses when he talks to Michael. But not to
my
me.
My boy Cayenne. Shout out to my boy.
Shout out to Cayenne. But
has he come to the crib yet?
No, he hasn't come to the crib yet. I've been to the crib, though.
Well, I was like,
I'm worried about him coming over there. I'm worried about that.
Tell him to come
that.
To the L.A. house. We'll get him right.
Oh, my God. He always wants to hang out with Michael. But I want y'all to come to one of his games this season. But
100%.
People love the relationship with me and Cash. And so there was a scene where the police were threatening to take Cash from me. And I just was like hugging, same thing, tears coming down. Because as a mom, like, it hit me so deep, you know, just the thought of someone taking my child away, like what that would feel like.
Right.
So those are scenes that, I mean, there's a lot of scenes, but that kind of stick out in my mind because they tap so much into just what you could feel as a mom or as someone who's been in relationships or whatever. So I'm excited for that scene from BMF to air for sure.
That's gonna be crazy. I'm excited for BMF. Even though I don't know what that show is, I'm so excited.
You know what?
Even though I watch it like this.
You know what, you guys.
Until Lala comes on the screen.
Yes, at least I know for me.
Then I open my eyes.
Exactly.
Is there a role or a job or any type of thing that you want to do
like,
next?
What would be your dream role? Like, ideal, like, anything you could do, put it out there. Like, what would be your ideal role?
I mean, I love the idea of, like, a modern day Set It Off, you know, all female cast, they was robbing banks, just
doing crazy stuff, but all females,
just badass, doing something crazy, but still dealing with what women go through, relationships, dealing with y'all and the headaches that y'all be giving everybody.
Do you mean us two or men in general?
Men in general, y'all too, as well. Because I'm sure I can talk to a couple girls that'll say, you guys gave him some headaches.
They'll say, we've been nothing but good boys.
Yeah, okay.
Except if you go to the girls from Tycoon Weekend. That's a different story. Okay.
By the way, I was supposed to go to that.
Why did you come?
It's not this is not my first rodeo. I've been to those before. I know how this shit goes. I'm like, you know what? Let me let y'all, when I heard lingerie pool party, this, that, I'm like, you know what? Let me let y'all rock out and have fun.
Tycoon Weekend was wild.
The R&B dudes were fighting.
This is what I'm like.
I'm like, yo, what's up?
You know, I heard all the stories afterwards. I'm like, what was going on there?
The boys, everyone hated the boys. We were just out there having fun.
It was vibing.
Yeah, but they didn't like that.
They was out there destroying.
But
rooms.
Did y'all at least have fun?
Yo, I had mad fun. I think we had the most fun.
Yeah.
That's
funny. Two of y'all together is a problem. Yeah, it's a problem.
Bro, it's crazy, me and this guy outside. Oh, man.
So, wait, were you guys friends before the show?
No, we talked about this.
We talk about this all the time. The craziest thing, me and this kid, we didn't say a word to each other our first day on set.
But no. Why? Why was you being rude?
I wasn't.
Why was you being rude?
I wasn't being rude for like. All right, so, like, my thing is, like, I don't really speak unless I'm spoken to, you know what I'm saying? So, like, and then, like, you know, him being new to the show, like, he was just like, oh, I'm here. Let me just give him his space, you know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't going
to. Yeah, because people would be scared to talk to you first because you're.
Yeah,
the star
I had to realize that, too. I'm like, what the fuck you scared of?
Because you're, like, looking around, like, why nobody talk to him? They don't know how to approach you and stuff.
But, yeah, like literally our first day, we didn't say.
This was season five. Yeah,
season five. We introduced each other, and then we just rehearsed the scene. Like, what we said to each other was on the page, on the sides, and that's it. And then after that, said later, whatever, then he came back for season six.
Oh, and so that whole season went by.
Yeah, went by, and then he came back season six. And then, like, we were just having a conversation. He said something about, like, cars. He said something about girls. I was like, okay, he's not like a, you know,
right,
this little thespian, like, weird
Hollywood
kid. Like, I could actually talk to this kid about some things. I'm like, all right, I'm rocking with him. And then, like, after that,
he picked me up on the whip, and that was it.
Yeah.
We've been with each other every day since then.
I was like, yo, bro, what's up? I'm about to come get you. What we doing? And then, like, after that, it was just like,
I love that.
Sometimes, like, you know how it is. When you're with, like, actory actors.
Oh, I know.
It's like, sometimes I got to be careful what the fuck I say.
Oh, no, most times you got to be careful.
Yeah, and you be looking at me like, what the fuck?
And also, they be in their process, however they prepare. Yeah, they don't want to be talked to. They in the corner. Some are method. They don't want to break character. Everybody, you got to, like, give people their space. Right. You don't know what's going on. So I get it. But that's dope how y'all hit it
off. Now the boys got a production company. We live together. It's like,
that is crazy.
Yeah, a lot happened. A lot happened within these few seasons.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's a crazy story.
See, power changes lives.
It does.
In many ways. And friendships. Yeah.
All right, let's get into some. We'll get into some fan questions because we got quite a few for you. But you also did touch on a lot of them. So the first one is from Gianni V. Pale. When are you setting me up with Kim Kardashian? No, I'm kidding.
That's you asking me that? Oh my God. Well, you know, listen. Everybody's single right now, so if you want, you're not part of our group. But if you want to make a play, now would be the time.
Sorry, B, your boy's moving in. No, I'm kidding. All right.
Sorry, B.
All right.
He's the new king of Staten Island.
Yeah. All right, our first question is from Angels Cloud, and she asks, what was your favorite and least favorite part about playing Keisha?
My favorite part was just watching the character grow and continuing to build the character, and the relationship with Keisha and Tommy was an incredible one to me, even though it was dysfunctional at the same time. I don't think there's a worse part, and I think probably Michael gets this, but just how people believe this is our real lives and, like, really hate you for, like, the character. It's like people was like, fucking hate you, Keisha. You was gonna snitch. You was gonna do that. But they, like, it's really me. Like, they really mad with me. And I know they get like that with him. I'm like, guys, this is a TV show. I love that everyone is so invested. That makes me happy. And it makes me feel like I did my job as an actor.
Right, like, people care.
But what the fuck are y'all mad at me for? Like, what is going on?
Have you, sorry, go on.
I was like, my new favorite thing when people be mad at me for killing ghosts, I'd be like, bro, they made me do it.
Like, exactly.
I don't got nothing else to say no more.
But like, they take it personal. Like, they're really mad. It's not like a joke. Like,
I'm like, bro, it's not my choice.
Yo, people have told me about him. I'm like, yo, what, you gonna fight him? Like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all?
It shows that they care. I do like that. Have you had any interactions like that?
Well, just in the street, people say stuff, or you'll run into somebody and they'll be like, yo, where you was really about to do that? I'm like,
you was really about to snitch on, on Tasha?
That's how you are? Right. I'm just like, what is going on?
Yeah, exactly.
It's so funny because the kid who plays Famous from Raising Kanan.
I think he does a great job.
He's great. He had an episode last night, probably a couple weeks ago now, where he ran from the cops. Mm-hmm. And he posted on his Instagram story last night because he fell and like was on the ground for like 5 minutes. He posted on his Instagram story last night. He's like, that's not really how I run from the cops. Like, it's so funny how everyone in the Power Universe has to like justify.
We gotta protect ourselves.
I know. Right. They be on this. All right, so Vanessa Jean, or whatever, I don't know her name, but she said, how do you think Lakeisha's life would have been if she never died?
That's a great question, actually. I think she would have stayed with Tommy, and I think whatever is happening in the Force world, she would have been a part of that.
Right.
You know, with Tommy and Chicago and everything like
that.
It's
so crazy. You're saying all these shows. I don't know any of them. No, I'm kidding.
You know what?
We gotta get some Force people on here. We haven't had anyone from Force on here.
Well, you should have Joseph on here. Why don't you start with that one?
I would love that. You're kidding. No, I would. I would actually love to have him on. And Chris Lofton. Love Chris. Have you met
my boy Chris?
Chris, I don't think I've met Chris.
I love Chris.
Oh, he's the best.
Okay, I gotta meet Chris.
Go on. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I just think it would be those two, like tearing up Chicago and figuring it out. And it's funny because when I was shooting The Chi, Force was in the same studio as The Chi.
Holy shit.
I'm like, what are the chances? I'm off power, but now I'm on the same lot in Chicago shooting. I used to see Joe and be like,
I was about to say, did you guys ever run into
each other? Yeah, we see each other. We'd be on the same lot. But like, what are the chances of that? Like, the world is so small.
Right. That's really fire.
Mm-hmm. I love that. All right, next question is from Power_TV fans. Who do you want to work with that you haven't worked with yet?
I love that.
Who do I want to work with?
They're amazing. Shout out to Power TV fans.
That I haven't worked with. Let me think. I'm a fan of so many people out there.
I love that about you. Because a lot of people are like, I don't fan. I'm like,
no, I'm a fan and I support. I want to see everybody grow and kill it and do good. For me, who I would love to work with. I'm such a fan of John Boyega. I love what he's doing. I think he's an incredible actor.
He's super
Viola cool. Davis. Mm-hmm. Love Zendaya. John David Washington. I got like some of my favorites. And then I'm blessed to be able to work with like the people I love. Gabrielle Union. I just did a Netflix movie with her and Keith Powers. Love them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just did an Eddie Murphy movie with Lauren London, Jonah Hill.
Yeah. That whole crew, that was crazy
to be able to.
How
Long,
funny was that shit?
Oh, that's
it was
awesome.
Amazing. Nia Long and I hit it off. Carisha, Young Miami's in it with us. Like, that was a fun, yeah, she's awesome. That was a fun experience.
Look, yeah, if you work with Zendaya, let me know. I'll pull up on Tom Holland.
You know,
Spider-Man. I'll pull up.
But so much talent out here nowadays, and so many, you know, legends in the game too to just work with and learn from. But I've been blessed. Like when I did the Eddie Murphy movie, I promise you, I had a moment. I don't know who was standing next to me. Maybe it was Mike Epps or somebody, and I was like, "Yo, I don't care who I've been around, what I've experienced in my life. That's Eddie Murphy. I'm in a movie with Eddie Murphy."
Yeah,
like, I don't never want that to get old.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have that feeling for this second before they say action. I'm in a movie, Eddie Murphy, right?
I literally just said that. I love that. I never want that feeling to go away.
I never want that to go away. Right. And it was such, Kenya Barris directed it.
Nice.
It was such a great movie. And we had so much fun. But I'm like, yo, I'm in a movie with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And Mike Epps, too.
That's like, that's legends. Nia Long.
I was just watching Friday After Next last night. That shit. Yo, Mike Epps, bro. He's
the
a genius.
Best.
He's a comedic genius,
by the way,
bro.
In his dressing room, full DJ equipment, turntables, everything.
In Mike Epps?
That's him. So in between, yo, you're like, where all this music coming from? He got the DJ going. He's the DJ.
That's crazy.
How do you set all this shit up in here like this?
Yo.
Full speakers, everything. But you know, everybody got their process, but it just made so much fun on the set.
Yeah, that's
like,
awesome.
It just made coming to work, you know, so much fun.
Was Eddie, like, one of the favorite people, your favorite people you've ever worked with?
Oh, he was just so kind. Like, you know, it's kind of like what Michael said. Nobody want to say anything. You don't know how to... Do I say hi? Do I not? I don't want to. Am I allowed? You know, you don't know what to do. But the second he saw me, he was like, "What's up, Lala?" I was like,
"Oh, so he broke
the
ice."
Like, right, he knows who I am. This is crazy. I was like,
"He's like, damn, they did you dirty, season six."
And he was just so personable. But then, you know, when they said cut and his work was done, he was like a ghost. He just disappeared. He's like, yo, where did Eddie go that quick? It's like, it was like a secret door he just went out of. But
that'd be Mary. When she's done it, when she's done with her scenes on set, she'd be out of there.
You're like, where did
the Range Rover, you just see the taillights out.
You're like, where did he go? But it was just an incredible experience. And like I said, just to be able to say, wow, I've come this far in my career that I could say, I got a movie with Eddie Murphy. It's just crazy.
When does that come out?
That's supposed to come out like around January, February.
On Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, and Kenya Barris is awesome. They're changing the name around a little bit, but Kenya Barris directed it, which was dope, and I got cool with him off doing Grown-ish. He's another one. Like, when he say he gonna do something, he does it, and when he rocks with you, he's gonna... look out for you.
Right.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I think you kind of already touched on this, but DS_424 said, what was your most memorable moment on set? It was the moment when you were laying down?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. When I got killed.
That's a fucking,
when I got killed. And also, you know, we were doing a lot of our own stunts in that. You know, having a gun pointed at your head for so many hours, that's like, after a while, it's just like, that can get... You get shook after a while, because acting or not, I mean, it's a gun. Right. It's firing off. You like they got to make sure there's not a real bullet. You know, it's all this protocol. But when you look up and remember, I was laying on the ground like this, and there's just a gun pointed to you like this for hours, because it's not a one-take thing. Yeah, it's a crazy feeling.
Do you remember any, are there any, like, crazy power onset stories or anything that, like, really sticks out that you're like, oh, this is wild, that you can say?
Probably nothing I could share, but everybody on Power is, we're all family, but everybody's out of their mind. We're a dysfunctional family, but we all family.
That's
and,
a fact.
You know, I can talk about my family, but nobody else can, so that's just what it is. But everything I can talk about or remember is just... so much love, and like we grew up. Think when he started, how old he was to when that first Power ended. Like, I saw him grow up from a kid to a young man, and everything that comes along with growing up on TV, you know?
We literally just saw 50 in Houston. He was like, when I first met you, you were this big. Now Michael's like showing off his AP in the dressing room. He's like, this motherfucker.
It's crazy. And even like with Notori, you know, she had a baby, like just all these life changes that happened during, you know, Power. And it's so funny because she tells a story too, but I never forget. She came into work one day and I don't know what it was. I just looked at her and literally I said, just like this, I go, yo, you're pregnant. And she was like, what? I said, you're pregnant. I just knew it. Like, it was a look. It was a glow. She was like, I feel like her eyes started watering. She was like, La, I had nobody to talk to. I wasn't going to tell anybody, but I just took a pregnancy test and I'm pregnant. I was like, yeah, I know. You're pregnant. You're around people so much. You know their tendencies. You know how they look. You know when something's off or when something's different. You just know it. Like, I was playing her best friend for so many years. I knew so much about her. And then... she had the most beautiful.
We need Lala in LA so she could walk around and be like, Lala, I hooked up with that girl like 6 weeks ago. Look at her, look at her.
Make sure she's not pregnant. First of all, none of y'all girls should be pregnant, because I just had a conversation about using condoms back there. I was just talking to y'all about strapping up back there.
Yeah, we always, I wear two.
Okay, good, good. So there should be no conversation.
On my fingers are not on my.
I don't want to hear about nobody getting pregnant right now. Unless that's what you want.
No babies.
And it's done the right way.
Right.
I sound like such a mom right now.
No,
I'm
please.
Just saying,
I need to hear this.
The Auntie La talking right
exactly.
Now.
Like, no. Yeah, same thing I'll tell Cayenne.
Oh, yeah, she's not playing around. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No babies.
Strap up.
We ask everyone this question, and then the fans get mad if we don't. But if you could play one other person in the Power universe, who would it be?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Another person in the Power universe, who would that be? Okay, let me think. I do love Tasha's character as well. It was so layered. I thought Notori did such an incredible job of playing ghost his wife, but also a mom, also navigating through them breaking up and her starting new relationships. I thought she just was incredible in how she played it. So it just looked like it would be such a fun but yet complicated character to play, that it would be like, I want to see what, how you would approach breaking that down. But she's so great at it, for sure.
Yeah, right.
Totally. Totally. Right.
Yeah.
Were there any unscripted moments that happened that you remember in Power? Like, in any scenes, were you improv? Do you added something that wasn't in the script? Or
I mean, sometimes I can't remember exactly, but you just feeding off of what's happening in the scene. And like I said, most of my scenes were always with Notori or Joseph, who are both incredible, and always, I always had to come on top of my game. You can't act opposite those two and be not fucking around. Like, it's no such thing as like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, it's no such thing. So I would just feed off them and vice versa, and maybe improvise or add stuff depending on what's happening. But I was led by two incredible actors that just helped me continue to grow and also get outside of my own comfort zone.
Right. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for coming on. Mike, do you have any Power questions before we let her go? Because getting her here was tough. I want to get everything out. We're squeezing it out.
But honestly, I'm really proud of you guys. It makes me so happy, because in this day and age, you got to take what you're doing and turn it into a lot of things. Like, don't just do one thing. So the fact that you guys took this friendship and have this podcast and production company, like, that's what it's about. That's like elevating and next level shit and not getting, you know, complacent. So just I'm really like proud of what y'all doing. This is big.
You gotta keep working, because, you know, once you start shooting, it's like,
then it's
that episodic pay stopped for a little second, you know what I'm saying? So you gotta have them.
But we got
too much idle time is trouble.
Right. Yeah.
Especially
that's why I keep us working.
But you gotta work.
Age, like,
gotta work, stay busy, and it's cool to have fun and do what you do, but just be safe and careful.
All right, plug everything that you got coming out, Instagram, all that.
Okay, so my Instagram is Lala, Facebook, everything Lala, that's easy. BMF is going to be premiering in January, season 2, so be on the lookout for that. Movie with Gabrielle.
All right, plug everything that you got coming out, Instagram, all that.
Okay, so my Instagram is Lala, Facebook, everything Lala, that's easy. Movie with Gabrielle Union, Keith Powers, Netflix, top of the year. Movie with Eddie Murphy, Jonah Hill, Lauren London, Nia Long, top of the year as well.
Busy.
Be on the lookout for that.
Auntie going crazy,
my hair care product is taking off. Anala is killing it. So if your edges are bad and your hair not growing, don't nobody want to be messing around with somebody with bald spots and all this stuff. For God. Guys, get your shit together and buy some Anala.
Get some Anala,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, rice water. Get your hair right.
My wife is here Gucci, but I'm still getting some.
Okay. It also keeps it good. Yeah, it doesn't have to be falling out or edges messed up. It keeps it good.
Right.
So buy your Anala, and that's everything.
And she's single and ready to mingle.
Oh, that too.
Watch that, baby. Slide in those DMs.
That too.
Show us the DMs. Who's in there?
Oh, my God. You don't want to see this, because y'all would be like, this is out of control.
Is it crazy?
Listen, nephew, I'm popping out the cut. I better come correct with my auntie.
You got to come correct.
I'm going to pop out the cut.
And by the way, can I give you guys one piece of advice?
Please.
Do not send the same DM to girls that are friends. Don't do that. Just understand, they're going to show their friend, yo, look what he DM'd me, and then she's going to say, oh, he DM'd me the same thing. If you're going to text girls as friends, send them different DMs.
I'm unsending mad shit right now.
That's giving copy and paste, and I want y'all to not do that.
No, I retype it out. I don't copy and paste it.
I do a
different emoji. Sometimes I do the... And then sometimes I do the...
No, you need to
sometimes
just...
Sometimes it'd be like a little star.
Okay, but
sometimes it'd be a heart.
If they know each other, send a different DM, okay? All right, that's my advice for the day.
Ain't sending shit.
Exactly.
Ain't sending shit.
You know I'm all over you.
Yeah, I'm out of this shit. But like I said, man, y'all better come correct for my auntie.
Yes.
I'm popping up the cut. I'm going to clap at one of y'all.
Exactly.
If y'all don't come correct for auntie, I'm clapping.
Exactly.
Simple as that. But, Weird 22 on Instagram, on TikTok, Twitter, Michael Rainey Jr., Instagram, Mike Rainey Jr. Subscribe to Where's 22 on YouTube. Got the vlogs coming. Crazy content. All type of crazy shit. go subscribe to the boys. And yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Gianni V. Paolo, Instagram, TikTok. Make sure you subscribe to Where's 22 because we're dropping vlogs. We're at the house in LA right now. We're doing some episodes in New York, but we on the West Coast right now, baby. So, Michael, give us one.
Listen, man, the crew has it, baby. My auntie Lala.
I love that.
The crew has it, and you have it, baby. Thank you, Lala.
Of course. Love you. That was so good.
Dude, that was an awesome episode. Yeah, that was great.